If you want to affix a title to our time this evening, it would be Attitudes Toward Circumstances. What I'd like you to do is read along with me verses 5 through 12. 1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 12. And I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come unto you, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Our Father, we remember how the psalmist prayed, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that reflects our desire tonight as we get into this book. We pray once more that the Spirit of God would assume responsibility as our teacher, that he'd tailor this passage to our individual needs and make the right application. We desire to exalt Jesus tonight in our meeting, but more particularly in our lives, and ask that you'd honor our request for his sake. Amen. Folks, if we would view the Christian life as a gigantic battleground, I'm sure we would all be in agreement that circumstances and how we view them and how we respond to them play a major role of that battle. And I think that we'd also have to conclude that as we fight this front line, that we experience defeat here probably as often as we do any place else in the Christian life. So often, as a matter of fact, do we find it that in the Navigators we've coined a phrase for it. We call it a DRA. How many of you know what a DRA is? Ah, that's right. A DRA is a dirty, rotten attitude. And that's what happens when circumstances enter into our lives that are unfavorable. Our attitudes go to pot. The dirty, rotten attitude begins to show itself. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. As a matter of fact, there's a little phrase that we've coined called the fifth law of thermodynamics, and that is that the perverseness of inanimate objects tends toward the maximum. And have you ever noticed that? That the plug is just 2 inches away from the cord, you can't quite reach it. Or when you're in a hurry, every signal in town turns red just as you approach it. You know what I mean? You're driving down the highway, and it's a four-lane interstate, and you don't see a car for miles. The thing dumps into a two-lane, and you got truck after truck after truck. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? That's the perverseness of inanimate objects, and it tends toward the maximum. And it's things like that that give us a rotten attitude. And boy, we have to fight it. I remember a couple of months ago, and living there in Fort Worth, about a block away from our house, we had the interstate highway system, 820, and then on both sides we had the frontage road, and so we had them mapped out this little route that I'd run. And so I'd take off, and I'd run along here, and I'd review scripture. I'd try to kill two birds with one stone and justify the investment of time in running. And I was going through the book of Galatians as I was running along, and I always run against the traffic so I could find out, you know, how to jump out of the way in case I had to. And this particular time, as I was reviewing my chapters through Galatians, there were three guys in a Volkswagen, and they were coming down the road toward me, 35, 40 miles an hour. And their objective was to get as close to me as they could without hitting me. And I want you to know that they did an excellent job. And talk about a rotten attitude. totally blew my scripture memory program. I said to him, and he said to me, you know, those mental gymnastics that you go through, you never lose those, by the way. You always win those battles, as I said to him. It's totally rotten, my attitude was over that. Well, as Paul concludes his letter to the Corinthians here, he sets forth his own personal plans and discusses some plans of others, namely those of Timothy and Apollos. And as he talks about these plans and his relationship with these men, and these men's relationship to the Corinthians, we see some piercing insights into what our attitudes ought to be. First of all, my attitude towards circumstances that come into my life. Secondly, my attitude towards circumstances in other people's lives. And thirdly, my attitude toward other people as they respond to the circumstances that come into their lives. Let's take them one at a time, because it really isn't all that difficult. First of all, let's look at my attitude toward circumstances in my life. Let's pick back up again at verse 5 and read through verse 9. Paul says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide yea in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." And so we see here the first principle that pops into focus for us. Namely, that I view my circumstances as God's leading in my life. I want you to notice here in this passage the relaxed way in which the Apostle Paul approaches his future and his plans and his circumstances. He says, "It's my desire to see you on my way through Macedonia, and if the Lord permits, I'll tarry a while, but if not, I won't. And a door has been opened to the Lord in Ephesus, and I plan on going over there and exploiting that opportunity, but there are many adversaries, and God's in control." And he recognizes that the circumstances that come into his life are God's leading in his life. And oh, what a precious, precious principle that is to grab a hold of and apply. And the thought occurs to me, my friends, that it is easy for us to make application to this when all of the circumstances are favorable. When everything's going the way I think it ought to go, then man, I am quick to say that God's leading in my life. It's when those circumstances are adverse. It's when they're not going along the way I think they ought to go. This is when I have difficulty making application. I feel it's the will of God to go into business. I make $1 million. My conclusion? Obviously, God was leading me into business. Look how he prospered me. Man, I'm a millionaire out of the thing. And any time we get what we want, we're very quick to conclude that God was leading. But how about when things go differently than you had anticipated? How about when you don't get what you want? How about everything that you plan goes afoul? How about when tragedy enters into your life? Then are you willing, not able, because the ability is there, then are you willing to say, God is leading in these circumstances in my life? You're driving on the highway, and you run into an automobile accident, and you give God thanks. Or one of your loved ones is taken home, and you stop, and you give God thanks, because you view that as God's leading in your life. Now, when we say that I view my circumstances as God's leading in my life, that's not to say that we understand what it is God's doing. The what of the matter, even the why of the matter, is yet to be determined. And oftentimes, as you go through your life, you never do know what it is or why it is that God's doing what he's doing. The psalmist said, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." Psalm 77:19. And my friends, all of us are in agreement, I'm sure, this evening when I say that the footsteps of God are hard to follow. And there are many times that circumstances come into our lives that perplexes, and we don't understand what it is God is doing. His ways are beyond us. And yet, by faith, knowing that our God is the one that controls our destiny and shapes our lives, we come to the conclusion that my circumstances are God's leading in my life. And you know what occurs to me? That as you try to interpret what's going on, it's easy to make the wrong interpretation. It's easy to conclude the wrong thing. Take, for example, the guy that made $1 million and going into business. And he said, boy, it's obvious that God's leading my life. That may not be at all. It may very well be that the reason why the guy made $1 million is that God was tired of trying to fight the guy and gave up on him and let him go his own way. Maybe the $1 million that the man made was the curse of God rather than the blessing of God. So you have to interpret your circumstances, whether they be favorable or otherwise, depending upon whether or not you're walking by faith. But I can know, as one who loves God and committed to His plan in my life, that when the circumstances enter my life, as adverse and difficult as they may seem, I can know that these are the perfect plan of God being fulfilled in my life. Principle number two. My attitude toward circumstances and other people's lives. Verses 10 and 11. Follow along with me. Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. And I want you to notice here that the Apostle Paul is admonishing the Corinthians concerning Timothy. He says, now Timothy is a son in the faith. When he comes to you, I want you to make sure that every need in his life is met. I want you to conduct him forth in peace. Don't you despise him. Don't you treat him wrongly. His circumstances are your responsibility. And that pops into focus the second great principle regarding our circumstances. Namely, I view other people's circumstances as my responsibility. Paul said to the Corinthians, Timothy's circumstances are your responsibility. You make sure his needs are met when he comes to you. Let's illustrate that. Let's say that I come to your town, and you know that I'm there. I have no money and no place to stay, and you don't offer me a place. And so I go into town, and I lie down on the park bench and cover myself with a sheet of newspaper and give God thanks. The conclusion is, Lord, thank you. These circumstances are obviously your leading in my life. And I rejoice over it. Now you come to my town, and I know you're here, and know that you don't have any money or any place to stay. And God says, Henriksen, their circumstance is your responsibility. If I don't take you into my home and meet your needs, God will nail my hide to the wall. If I go to your town and you don't take me in, I give God thanks. If you come to my town and I don't take you in, God will hold me accountable for it. That's what we call the double edge of responsibility. And it's all through the Scriptures. And here is one of those places. I cannot view my attitude toward other people as God's leading in their life, especially if that attitude is a bad one. I have got to view that attitude as my responsibility. And I am to do all that I can to control other people's circumstances so as to make sure that their needs are met. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is good due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. My friends, I am struck in the Scriptures by the fact that the Lord Jesus never, to the best of my knowledge, I say never, neglected the needs of people who came to him for help. He always had time for them. The closest he ever came to turning somebody down was the Syrophoenician woman. and even she had her needs met before they parted company. Always, when people entered into the life of the Lord Jesus, he had time to meet their needs. He viewed it as his responsibility. And yet I fear as Christians, it is right here that we part from a Christ-like attitude. Chuck led us in a song this evening, "May the mind of Christ our Savior dwell in me." And I interpret that at this point to mean that we are to view the needs of others like Jesus viewed them when he was walking here on earth. And yet I know in my own heart it is easy for me to neglect the needs of others under some meek pretense that really has no bearing to it. We walk down the street, and there's a man that asks us for a quarter for a loaf of bread, and we suspect that he's a drunk or a wino, and we turn him down under the pretense that if we gave him the quarter, all we would do is feed his habit, and so we pass on. We go down the street a little bit further, and there's this man that's got his legs curled in underneath him, and he sits there with a cup. "Alms, alms," he says, and we walk by him and we think to ourselves, "Probably his legs are as good as mine. I could twist mine like that for an extra buck or two if I..." And we pass on. And another man walks by with a cup in his hand, and he's got a cane, and he's got dark glasses on, and we think, "Well, the guy's probably faking it," and we pass on. And then on the other side of the town over here, there are some people who are in the ghetto, or maybe they're not in the ghetto, but they're obviously in need. And we don't meet their needs. And our excuse? "Man, I pay mucho money every year to welfare and to the government. And they go over for their welfare check and aid dependent children checks and all the money that..." Man, their needs are met by the government. I don't have to meet it. And we excuse ourselves again. Consistently, habitually in our lives, we have allowed ourselves to become so calloused that we can walk right by the needs of people and not even blink. I remember several nights ago, a month and a half or so ago, my family and I were south of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we drove up, it was in Albuquerque, that's right, and we drove from Albuquerque, New Mexico, stopped by Amarillo for lunch. I dropped my family off in Fort Worth, and then I had to drive on up to Oklahoma City that night in order to attend a conference or speak at a conference the next morning. That's a long drive. And I was tired. And it was after midnight, as my eyes were bloodshot and blurry, and I was driving by down that new set of Interstate Highway 35 between Fort Worth and Oklahoma City. And as I was driving along there, feeling rather sorry for myself that I had to drive that long distance and greatly desiring to get to my objective, I saw this guy out there in front of his automobile with the hood up, waving frantically on the highway, like this. So you know what I did? I moved from the right-hand lane to the left-hand lane and accelerated right on by. And as I went by, the Holy Spirit said, "Hendrickson, would Jesus have done that?" And says I to me, "Oh man, Lord, if I had stopped, boy, there probably was another guy hiding behind the bushes and he lobbed my head off and walked away with my car." And the Spirit of God said to me, "Yeah, that's right, Hendrickson. Other people do control your destiny." "That's right. I have absolutely nothing to do with protecting you, do I?" "Yeah, well, Lord, but probably there's a highway patrolman behind me. And, you know, after all, that's what we pay them for. They're going to, he'll probably stop by and help them." "Would Jesus do that, Hendrickson?" "Yeah, but look, don't yeah, but me, Hendrickson." And there was no way I could justify that act. No way. My friends, I ask you, do you view other people's circumstances as your responsibility? Principle number 3. My attitude toward others as they respond to the circumstances in their lives. Let's take a look at verse 12. "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time." Now, get the picture here. The church at Corinth is in need Just a cursory reading of 1 Corinthians lets you know that. I mean, they had needs, giant needs. The Apostle Paul was tied up, but here was Apollos. He knew Apollos. They were buddies in the Lord. And as he looked at Apollos, he thought to himself, he's the man to go and meet their needs. He's not doing anything right now. And so he goes to Apollos and says, Apollos, the church at Corinth, and you've had a ministry there yourself. I planted, you watered. God gave the increase. You've had an influence there. Now, Apollos, you go over there and help them out. And Apollos said, no. No? What do you mean, no? You meathead, get off your duff and get over there. What do you mean, no? That's exactly what I said. No. God's not leading me. Whew. That brings us to principle number three. I view other people's response to their circumstances as God's leading in their life. And my friends, that's the roughest of the three principles. If you think one and two are hard, try this one on for size. I view other people's response to their circumstances as God's leading in their lives. Let's go back to Paul and Apollos. You see, when Paul looked at Apollos, he had come to the conclusion that Apollos could have gone. If he didn't believe Apollos could have gone, he would never have asked him. Not only that, he believed he should have gone. Not only that, he really wanted him to go. He wasn't neutral over the subject. Notice what it says here in verse 12. I greatly desired him to go. Man, I really wanted him, and he turned me down. Now what's my attitude going to be like? Do I have the grace to stand back and say, even though given the same set of circumstances, I would have responded differently? Do I have the grace to stand back and say, God is leading in his life? That's what this principle is all about. And that one is hard. You got a deal. It's a one-day conference in your town. Man, it is the greatest thing since recess. Ooh, are you excited about it? And you're trying to get people excited about it, and man, you want to get them involved in the thing, and you're going around to recruit people, and they turn you down. I'm sorry, I'll be out of town. Out of town? Don't you realize who's coming? The greatest Bible teacher? I'm sorry, I'll be gone with my family. And giant heart problems. Man, the guy doesn't have any heart for God. He's not interested in the things of the Lord. Blah, 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 blah. Are you able under those circumstances to say God's leading in his life? Or try this one on for size. You're superintendent of the Sunday school. And man, you have poured your soul into that job. Why, that Sunday school department is the greatest thing. Wow, it is so neat. And you finally step back and give it to somebody else. And they step into that. And they so completely changed that Sunday school department that 2 months later, you'd never recognize it. Man, they changed everything you did. And you stand back there and you think, oh, you're blowing it. Good, good. Oh, ooh. You know, my work, my life's work, down the drain. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Do you have the ability? No. Do you have the will to stand back and say, God's leading as he does that? Or this one. We'll just try one more. The applications are legion. Somebody's come to you for counsel. Boy, I really need your help, he says. And he sits down and tells you the story, and you give him the most divinely inspired counsel you could imagine. Man, it is fantastic. You're so proud of yourself, the buttons pop off your shirt as he leaves the house. And he does just the opposite of what you told him to do. Well, it's obvious. It's obvious he's not walking with God. Obviously, the Lord isn't leading in his life. Why? Because he didn't do what I told him to do. Well, three principles. Three sets of applications. Principle number one, I view my circumstances as God's leading in my life. Principle number two, I view other people's circumstances as my responsibility. And principle number three, I view other people's response to their circumstances as God's leading in their life. Now, as you evaluate your attitude toward these circumstances, how are you doing? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the simple advice that you give us in the Scriptures, both through admonition and illustration. Now we pray that you give us the courage and the good sense, as well as the grace, to put them into practice. For Jesus' sake, amen.